Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we will, as we await the speech by the President of the United States at the University of Arizona in Tucson, he will be preceded, starting in a few minutes, by the University President of the University of Arizona, Ronald Shelton, and then Janet Napolitano and Governor Brewer and student leaders will speak. It's expected that the President will come on about 5:35 local time. But before then, we'll be joined by Jacob Heilbrun, who's a senior editor at the National Interest and author of the newly released They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. He was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and senior editor at the New Republic and a Japan Society Fellow. His articles have been published in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Wall Street Journal, Commentary, and the Washington Monthly. And we'll be talking about what is expected of President Obama's speech in this contentious political climate that has been much discussed of late. And then we'll be joined by Ron Suskind, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. His books include The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, The 1% Doctrine, Deep Inside America's Pursuit of Its Enemies Since 9/11, and The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill. He's currently writing a new book. Thank you for joining us, Jacob Heilbrun.
Thank you, Ian.
And I suppose the news today is Sarah Palin's Facebook, which was an attempt to calm things down, but her reference to blood libel has stirred things up, has it not?
Yes, and I don't think that was inadvertent. Howard Fineman in the Huffington Post said that that is really the first salvo of the 2012 campaign launched by Palin. And she obviously thinks that the best defense is a good offense. But I and many other people found it a deeply offensive statement for a variety of reasons, not least because she is profiling herself as the true victim of the Arizona massacre.
But how could resorting to anti-Semitism, whether it's conscious or unconscious on her part, help her launch her political run for President of the United States?
Well, I think they miscalculated. But it does fit with her modus operandi, which is to be extremely truculent and to try and demonize her adversaries. I think personally that she lacks an internal governor and is lurching out of control, and that the more the campaign goes on, the more it will be seen that she simply is glaringly deficient next to the sobriety of President Obama. Whatever his flaws, Obama has conducted himself very seriously as president, and I think few people believe that Palin has the necessary detachment and judgment to actually be president, and she's demonstrated it again today.
Well, that would indicate then, Jacob Heilbrun, that she's the best possible thing that could happen to President Obama, because given the state of the economy, which already clearly contributed to what President Obama referred to as a shellacking in the last election, the head of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, the economy is not going to get any better soon, and certainly not in less than 2 years. So it would seem to me that he's already got an albatross around his neck, and she may come to the rescue, and which I think is probably why the Republican establishment will do everything that they can to stop her.
Well, the establishment is quaking before Palin, but it doesn't mean that she won't be a very strong candidate in the primaries. What the 2012 primary will show us is the depth of the right-wing hold on the primary process. And that base may be energized by statements like today. I mean, it's been shown that Andrew Breitbart and others on the right have already used the term blood libel. It does not originate with Sarah Palin. It's been in circulation on the right. And Palin may also be making a calculated decision that she needs to continue to outflank her probable adversaries, such as Mitt Romney or Tim Pawlenty. But I do think that in the general election, these statements will come back to haunt her.
So, Jacob Haugen, again, senior editor of the National Interest, the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. He was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and senior editor at the New Republic. And we're talking about what the president, actually we're talking mostly about Sarah Palin's remarks today on her Facebook in defense of what she referred to as a blood libel, where journalists were defaming her and stirring up the very hatred and division that they purported to want to subdue. I'm sort of paraphrasing what she wrote. But we're waiting for the President of the United States, who will be speaking at in about 30 minutes from now at the University of Arizona. The university president is expected to speak first. And then former governor of Arizona, Janet Napolitano, now head of Homeland Security, will also speak along with Governor Jan Brewer and student leaders. So Palin had to take down all of that stuff from her website of how she targeted Gabriel Giffords. And it's extraordinary. You know, I even get mail, people complaining that I'm libeling her by saying she put targets on Congresswoman Giffords. Congresswoman Giffords herself, back in March, when people vandalized her office over her vote on health care, she went on MSNBC and blamed Sarah Palin and castigated her in a very dignified way, which turns out to be kind of very prescient and very moving in retrospect, where she made it very clear that she held her Palin responsible for targeting her, both literally and figuratively. And then Palin took these symbols, which she herself referred to as bullseyes, off. And then her spokespeople said, no, they were symbols that surveyors use on maps. So who's writing her stuff?
Well, she's very tightly connected with Randy Schuneman and Michael Goldfarb and others. And
Schuneman was the national security advisor for John McCain's campaign.
Right. I mean, essentially, there is a strong neocon conservative component to Palin. She manages actually to bridge the divide between the neoconservatives and the Tea Party types, and which is why she'll be a potent figure in the primaries, in the Republican primaries at least. I mean, she is considered to be the front runner. We can't forget that. So what? If she continues in this vein, it'll be interesting to see whether she just sinks.
Well, the neocons discovered her. Fred Barnes and Bill Kristol were on a sort of right-wing cruise where they were speaking to the faithful, and then they went ashore and met her and apparently bonded. And Kristol really pushed her campaign pushed McCain to put her on the ticket, and has been her, I think, number one advisor. But I thought the motives for the neocons, putting her up as their candidate, was quite simply that she was stupid, and that they liked the fact that George W. Bush was an empty vessel that they could fill, and that's not my description. That's what Richard Pearl said about candidate George W. Bush. So that's my impression. What's yours?
Oh, I couldn't disagree with you on that, Ian. I mean, that has been the neocon approach to be the advisor behind the throne to the prince, or in this case, princess. And the neocon doctrine, fell out of favor, of course, after the Iraq invasion. But they always need, it's a small group of intellectuals who need a champion, a horse, so to speak, who can propagate the doctrine and give it political viability. which I don't really think there are very many neoconservative politicians. It's more of an elite movement. So, yes, Palin would fit the bill perfectly.
But Jacob Harburn, again, the Senate editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times and senior editor at the New Republic, and in advance of the president's speech at the University of Arizona, where he's preceded by the president and Janet Napolitano and Governor Brewer and student leaders, we're talking about, largely talking about Sarah Palin, which may be a mistake in as much as where we should be talking about what the president's going to say.
Well, I think Palin provided a foil for Obama today, and she obviously tried to preempt him. I mean, we're getting into the interstices of the political decisions when, well, that's why I found Palin's statement objectionable as well. There's a mechanistic utilitarian quality to a lot of the commentary on the right, which is they're not really concerned about the event per se. They're simply concerned with
being associated with it, yes.
With how they come out of it politically.
Sure, I mean, right.
There's something a little creepy about it.
There most certainly is, and there is also a absolute chorus of indignation from all the people on the right. They're all on the same hymnal, crying foul how dare people. I mean, it's such an absurd argument. Of course, these things aren't mutually exclusive. Atmosphere can contribute to these kind of tragedies. At the same time, it doesn't necessarily indicate the sole responsibility for the act. So
no, and even if it's not connected, which it might not be, it still has to give everyone pause because of the level of vitriol and the sense that something has gone awry when our best and brightest are gunned down for being moderates. And you have whether you know, the right-wing rhetoric is directly responsible or not, it certainly has to leave a bad taste in everyone's mouth, which is what it's doing, and that's why they're so alarmed.
Just in closing...
Well, even Roger Ailes, though, by the way, did apparently tell the Fox anchors, tone it down.
Sure. Well, they still went after the sheriff in Pima County, and they still seem to be fairly dutiful in terms of being the Pravda of the Republican Party. But just in closing, Jacob Harburn, what about the comparisons to Bill Clinton's speech after the Oklahoma City bombing at a similar time in his presidency, where he took a shellacking and he turned things around with his speech? Is the president going to do that today?
Well, I think Obama actually already did seize the high ground at the end of the last term. I mean, I think he's already got the whip hand, if you want to look at it politically. This speech may just remind people of why they admire Barack Obama in the first place, because I assume that he will give a dignified and moving address. And, you know, this is sort of the thing that Clinton was very good at, but I think Obama is even better at... there is a national sense of unease and grief, and I think my expectation is that Obama will do a magnificent job of reflecting that and addressing it tonight.
So why is it then that the conservatives, particularly the Tea Party types, can't man up and admit that they've been saying this stuff for the longest time, that the president's a terrorist,
I mean,
that healthcare is socialism and all this crazy stuff. They've been saying it day in and day out, and now they're saying, oh, how dare you associate what we said with what happened? It's not that there's a direct linkage with what happened, but at the same time, they have been saying the most poisonous and outrageous stuff for months and even years.
Well, it is interesting that conservatives who have always decried the idea of victimhood and called for self-reliance are now stylizing themselves as the victims, aren't they, Ian, of this Arizona tragedy, instead of focusing on...
Yeah, but I think they're being cowards for not owning what they've said. And
I agree. You know. But there's a lack of self-reflection, so, and a refusal to engage. But again, it's all seen as a political warfare in the end.
Well,
they're not going to concede any ground to what they view as the enemy.
Right, right.
And they view themselves as besieged and unfairly attacked.
Right. No, there's a streak of martyrdom that goes through all of this stuff. Even on the religious right, there's a sense that they're beleaguered, and there's a sense throughout the right that they believe. They actually believe in the lamestream media's liberal bias dominating the media. And frankly, from where I sit, I know that the liberal voices in this country are all but extinct.
Well, conservatives tend to have a pretty apocalyptic view of America as going down the drain, but for their efforts to hold back the liberal tide. Well, and so, yes, they live in a constant state of beleaguerment and view the American government itself with hostility.
Well, it is a very, very unpleasant time that we've been living through and continue to live through. And one can only hope that the president is able to put things into context and at least, if he can't, heal the divide, at least calm the rhetoric. I thank you for joining us, Jacob Harbron. Again, Jacob Harbron is a senior editor at The National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. He was an editorial writer for The Los Angeles Times and senior editor at The New Republic.